Take me back to the wide open places. Let me bask 'neath the bright neon light. Let me see those sunray faces in the wide open places that are open, open all night. Yes, yes, you can have your boots and saddles. You can take your rolling plane.
Get along with the lamp.
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's like a Tasmanian devil.
Usually you guys aren't here to watch me knock over the lamps. So...
let's not do any damage to this posh hotel.
Seriously.
I will break all the hotel. My name isn't on here, so... hello. We are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. We might sound a little different because we're recording this together in Portland, Oregon.
We are. Yay! Hello, hello. It's good to see you, brothers.
It is good to see everyone.
Especially Andrew.
Yeah.
Wait.
I'm here.
Oh, wait.
Patrick.
Patrick. Hi.
Hey.
I can see you.
We can
and
see you.
These are like, my two brothers I don't like.
You're like 4 feet from me.
I know, right? Well, Daniel's the only one that you actually like.
Daniel's the only one I actually like, and he's not here.
He's
so,
not here.
No. But my two brothers are visiting Portland.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
And they're staying at the Nines Hotel downtown. This is not a paid advertisement or anything.
The Nines.
They're just
it's posh. It is extremely
posh. That's their tagline.
It should be if it's not.
It's posh? That's their tagline?
It should be if it's not.
This is a nice hotel.
It's a very nice hotel.
My brother Chris is here for a conference. My brother Andrew is a tag-along. Here they are.
Yes, I am.
We are recording together in Portland, Oregon. It's awesome.
It's episode 54.
Good. Episode 54, that's right.
It is Cinco de Mayo.
It is Cinco de Mayo.
Belated. May the 4th be with you, boys.
Exactly.
So Andrew posts... you know how Facebook does that thing where it's like, hey, this is where you were 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yesterday, 2 years ago, is when we recorded our first episode.
Exactly right. Episode
our May the 4th
one.
Episode.
So, so it's been 2 years.
Anniversary of the podcast.
I mean, we've recorded 54, so we're not exactly every week like we wanted to.
No, not quite.
Our average is pretty good, though, because we're, you know, two a month.
Two a month? That's not bad.
Yeah. Well, there are one-shots thrown in there.
There are one-shots thrown in there. I like the fact that we do those one-shots, though.
The one-shots are great.
No, the one-shots are fun.
But we need to be on a...
This is a regular episode. We've done two one-shots in a row.
2 months since our last regular.
Daredevil.
But in 2016, especially, I mean, Pat's been working more.
Yeah.
Your job changed.
Yep.
You know, well, and then my job is so, like, not a 9-to-5 job, so it's very inconsistent and hard to schedule things. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that it's added an extra... Right.
We've said it before. We don't make a living doing this yet.
Yes.
But we hope to eventually.
Thankfully.
Eventually.
Yeah. That would be great. And we appreciate you guys listening, you dedicated listeners.
Pretty much only. We probably need to just double our listenership, right? And then we can start making
money off it. I think double.
Double?
Double.
I think then the Nerdist will come.
Then we'll be at 60.
Yeah, we just need to double our... 60? 60 million?
Wow.
Millions?
So, we're geeks and we're brothers. We talk about geeky things, usually comic books and movies and video games and TV shows. And so this is where we're at, Cinco de Mayo, 54.
It's a live
I would like to. I would like to say one thing. No one will hear this, but this is my dog's 13th birthday.
Oh,
Sawyer.
So sweet.
I've had him for 13 years and I love him.
Which is honestly a little impressive because Sawyer's a bigger dog. And
he's a big dog.
Yeah.
13 and he looks
dogs
good.
Don't
he looks
usually,
good for 13.
Yeah. 13 years is.
And 13 is my favorite number, as
it
you
is.
Know.
13!
Listen to like episode 25 to understand
Chris
what
his head.
Yeah,
can you hear that, listeners?
He is so.
I'm cringing in disapproval.
13 is my favorite. No. So, I mean, I feel like we have a lot to talk about because we haven't done like a regular episode in a while. So let's just like
get in there
to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
So, Red.
Are we skipping immediately to Red, or do we have any topics that
we raise? Would like to say we are seeing Captain America Civil War tonight together,
yes,
which is awesome.
So
if you were in Portland, Oregon, and you want to come see it, we're seeing it at the Pioneer Square.
You got to make sure you post it.
I'm going to post it today, and Andrew's going to do his thing.
You are going to post it today?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Not fine.
If you'd like to come to watch it with us, we will be at Pioneer Square, 7 o'clock show. We already got our tickets.
Yep.
Yep. We're tweeting. We'll tweet about it and post it on Facebook.
Yeah. If you'd like to come with us, that would be awesome.
Awesome.
If you listen, however, if you listen to this after Thursday, go see it.
Go see. Captain America.
Our next episode will be a Civil War one.
Correct. I have gone on the record saying that Winter Soldier is my favorite comic book movie, and Andrew likes to argue with me that Dark Knight is very good, but for superhero movies, Captain America is my favorite superhero, and I feel like the Winter Soldier is just so good and so deep, and it took these simple ideas and really made a great movie out of it. And it's just so next level, and I'm so pumped about this.
Here's a framing device for this conversation is a tweet I saw the other day. I'm sorry, I can't remember who did it. Otherwise, I would give attribution. Yeah. Mm-hmm. However, what I saw was a reaction to a person seeing a preview showing of this movie, Civil War, and they asserted that it's so good that the trilogy of Captain America movies is the best superhero trilogy.
Wow.
Wow.
See, I feel like the first one is lacking a little bit.
The first one is spectacular, dude. As a period piece and a origin story, it's the best origin movie that's been made.
You might be right.
As good as Batman Begins.
That's the conversation, right?
I love that Captain America is part of the conversation.
It really is.
Those are the two. I mean, they're the only two to debate about is the Batman trilogy versus Captain America.
I agree. Okay. So for superhero trilogies, we got Spider-Man, which 1 and 2 are good. The third one is
so bad that it doesn't make it.
And that's how I feel about Iron Man, which has 3 movies.
I totally agree.
The third movie is terrible.
Third movie's terrible.
And the first two are decent. Well, the second one's okay.
They're good.
It has good parts, but it's not as good as the first one. The first one's the best.
We'll have to see with the third Thor movie, which comes out. Supposedly comes out next year. Whether
I think
up.
Dark World was really good.
First two, they don't rise to the level of either Batman or Captain America.
Captain America, Winter Soldier is so good, man.
I can't... Yeah,
so good.
It's a great... I never would have thought that...
It would be that good.
It's a legit spy movie.
After seeing the 3 Batman movies, there is no way I would, in my mind, ever think that any trilogy would approach it.
Yeah.
But this tweet prompted me to think about exactly that. If this movie is as good, the Captain America movie, Civil War, is as good as people are saying it is, it could challenge for the best.
And who would have thought,
seriously,
that the Captain America trilogy would be this good?
Right.
I mean, I didn't have a lot of affection for the character before these movies came out. I'm not going to lie. I tried to read Brubaker's run on the comics.
Dude, that's so good. That
is so good.
Like, Brubaker's run on Captain America, like, 10 years ago is so good.
That was pre-Civil War, and then it was post-Civil War, too.
Yep.
For those of you who don't know, the Civil War was an actual miniseries in the Marvel Comics universe.
Yes.
From, like, 6 or 7 years ago.
Devices.
And Captain America and Iron Man are obviously a centerpiece of this story because they're the leaders of the two fronts. Captain America is revolting against superhero registration that the government is passing. All enhanced people need to register with the government.
Well, and the preview of the movie suggests that that's what's going on,
right?
Too,
exactly.
Right?
And it's interesting that Captain America is anti the government passing a law.
Well, what hasn't been focused on in the movie previews is that in the comics, part of the registration is that you reveal your identity.
Yeah,
yeah.
Public knowledge.
Public knowledge as to who your secret identity is.
Right.
And so that really tears apart the superhero community because of that requirement.
Yes. And a big part of that was...
Tony Stark has no issue with that because everybody knows who he is.
He's already out. Yeah. But the big part of that story is Spider-Man, who is like a nobody, Joe Schmo superhero that no one knows who he is, finally revealing himself in the comics.
Yes.
To like a press... junket.
Right.
So
there's
so
a
we
whole
were always,
press release.
We were all we
a press conference
in the comic. This is happening, and we were curious of like how could you do this story without Spider-Man?
Right.
Guess what? they made a deal with Fox and Sony to do that.
I wonder if there's going to be this iconic moment in the movie
about
him revealing who he is.
Well,
that'd be pretty sweet.
I've seen from preview showings indicate that Spider-Man has a larger role to play in this movie. Good. He's not just a glorified cameo.
I was worried that he was just going to be a cameo at the end and that's it. He's, you know, he shows up to shake things up in the big epic battle at the end of this movie between all the heroes. But if he's got like a bigger tail, he's like a big part of it. I'm super pumped about that. I'm super pumped about this
movie. Every indication is that they are using this movie to not only launch Black Panther and his kind of standalone movie track. It seems as though they're using this to launch Spider-Man's new standalone movie track too.
Marvel doing Spider-Man movies versus Fox and Sony.
Fox.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's good for us because I mean Andrew Garfield is a decent Peter Parker, but I feel like those Spider-Man movies are a little bit weak. I feel like they're not. They're okay.
They've kind of struggled. I mean, I looking back on it, Tobey Maguire. I've loved those first two.
The first two are pretty good.
Tobey Maguire.
Yeah,
he was great in my opinion. I mean, they kept making them because they had to keep to hold on to the rights.
Right.
Well, that's the Andrew Garfield films.
Right. They had to do it, otherwise they were going to lose them.
Exactly.
Right.
And they Tobey
Maguire
didn't want to do it.
And that's also why you're seeing
a
resurgence of X-Men movies. And
they tried to relaunch Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four. They had to make a Fantastic Four movie to keep the rights also. So there's this whole like legal thing of like we need to make this movie, not necessarily we wanted to make money,
but
we have to at least give it a shot.
Well, and if it sucks and they lose tons of money, they can use that to write down their taxes and that kind of thing. So
great. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Anyway,
lawyered.
I've made my contribution for the day. I'm at a conference.
So,
I'm in lawyer mode. What can I say?
Yeah, I'm super pumped about this movie. We're seeing it tonight.
And if it's really good, then we got to have that debate.
Because we'll probably do a Captain America Civil War
in my mind shot. Nothing can approach the Batman
the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah,
Nolan's trilogy.
It's so good.
So I mean, we have a couple of superhero movies in recent months that are superhero and superhero violence, and that's like a theme. Batman v Superman was, you know, kind of like the whole point of the movie was them pitted against each other by Lex Luthor, and this is a similar kind of story. And I was kind of disappointed with Batman v Superman.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that this is this is a better story. This is a more interesting take on that idea.
It appears to be, doesn't take much, but it appears to be a hell of a lot more nuanced than Zack Snyder's approach.
Yeah. I think the Russo brothers are just better filmmakers.
And Marvel seems to get it. I think that they get it, and they've handled Captain America. I mean, Captain America has all of the problems as a superhero that Superman does.
Hokey. He's hokey, and he can be Boy Scout,
Goody Two-Shoes.
At first glance, lacks depth.
But they've done such a good job of giving him depth and addressing sort of his backstory in a nuanced way his struggles and, those kind of things. They've done a great job of that. I think, hopefully, I believe that they'll continue to do that.
Yeah.
The preview comments that I've seen indicate that they've done exactly that, they've continued to do that. So I'm psyched to see it.
The other exciting kiki part of this is that as much as it's a sequel and continues the story of Captain America and Bucky Barnes and the Winter Soldier, it's a direct sequel to the Winter Soldier. It also feels like the third Avengers movie because there's so many freaking people in it.
Yeah, it has a taste of that.
And it's all handled well. I mean, one of the comments we've always made about Joss Whedon and his two Avengers movies is that he handles all of the roles and all of the characters better than anybody.
He's an expert at the ensemble.
Exactly. And he gives every
character how these characters have their own little story, own little
idea. And it's interesting
idea.
To see how the Russo brothers will pick that up because they're carrying forward the larger cinematic universe with the next two Avengers movies Russo brothers are handling.
So any theories about deaths? Because should we even talk about it?
I don't have any theories.
The comic
someone
books,
dies at the end of the Civil
have
War
a
comic.
Key death.
Yes.
Which we shouldn't spoil because I encourage everyone to read the trades on the Civil War.
Yeah, so we shouldn't spoil it because somebody, a couple of heroes die in the Civil War.
They do.
So I'm wondering. Yeah, big ones. So, and so I'm wondering how if they're going to go in that direction, if they're going to kill some people off in this movie. So I'm super interested.
We're going to see it 4 hours from now.
4 hours?
Yeah,
yep.
Man. Can't wait.
Oh, my God. Very sad.
Oh, my God. All right.
Any other news you want to touch on?
I don't think nothing.
Random little trailers here and there that we could talk about, but nothing.
Yeah. No big news, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, we could do a whole episode about the turmoil in the DC cinematic universe. It appears that the Flash movie has lost its director.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
As of this recording, they lost that, and there was issues possibly with the director of the Aquaman movie as well.
Oh wow!
Well, I thought they were doing a Flash and Cyborg movie together. Well,
I don't know.
A thing.
We know that Wonder Woman is in the can because that's coming out.
Yeah,
but there's issues in the DC cinematic universe. I don't know, man. They do not have their act together.
The more I think about Wonder Woman and Batman v Superman, the more I'm excited about that movie.
Oh, completely
because,
agree.
Because
the best part to come out of that.
Out of all these movies, there's not a lot of strong female superhero movies.
Nope.
Like it's pretty,
well,
it's pretty lacking.
They keep calling
Marvel.
For a Black Widow. They keep calling
I would
for
love
that.
A Black
I would
Widow.
Love, yeah, it would be great.
It would, like, do Black Widow Hawkeye movie? Mm. That would be so fun.
Just do a Black Widow.
Black Widow.
No, but, like, you know, Captain America had Black Widow in it.
You could do a killer spy movie with Black Widow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well,
it would be freaking great.
They've announced they're going to have it. They haven't cast it yet. They're going to have a female Captain Marvel movie. And Captain Marvel's like a space cop.
So are they doing the space cop version, or are they doing the Muslim version that's going on in the comics right now?
They're doing the space cop version.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I mean, they can do either, but
there's been a lot of women that have held the moniker of Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel.
Yeah, in my view, they really should do the Muslim version.
The Muslim version, which is really good, and I think the first trade is really interesting, and it's this teenage Muslim girl.
Yeah,
and it's fantastic. It's really, really entertaining. So, let's do some scene.
Yeah,
let's do scene.
All right,
well, we've got some big things that we can talk about because basically the summer TV season is ramping back up.
Yeah,
two of our favorite shows, Game of Thrones and Penny Dreadful,
right,
are both started up again.
Yes,
we're through episode 3 on Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm,
are we through? No, two episodes. Just two.
Two right. episodes of Game of Thrones.
Two episodes of Game of Thrones. Yes.
And one episode of Penny Dreadful.
They didn't do two?
They've only done the one.
Oh, they premiered. I haven't watched it, obviously. That's
just
what
premiered.
I thought it premiered Sunday. The same week as Game of Thrones, but it didn't.
The week after.
I feel like not a lot of people watch Penny Dreadful, and it's kind of sad
because
it's a great show.
It's a really well written show.
And I haven't watched the first episode, but I'm very excited to do that
because
like the second season ends on a very bad note.
It's a very down.
I mean, this is a depressing kind of a show.
It is
like immortals trying to take over the earth. And one of the main characters killing another beloved character, and you know, just people scatter to the wind. This team of
this family of monster fighting people is very broken.
So I'm curious about where they go with it in this.
Yeah,
the end of season two where they go to that cabin. All those episodes like leading up to the is so good.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. You learn so much more about the characters and stuff.
In season 3 picks up sometime later. Mm-hmm. Everyone's still scattered to the wind.
It's from what you were telling me about it, Andrew, it sounds like more of a here's where we're at episode.
A little bit, but it also poses some interesting plot threads going forward. A huge main new villain.
Yes,
it seems like everyone will love to watch.
It was a tremendous first episode because it did a great job of teeing up. Here's where people are.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's damaged.
Mm-hmm.
We're not out of the pickle that some of them are in.
Yeah.
But there's clearly been some evolution on the part of at least a couple of the characters.
Yeah.
And then they weave together some new new storylines to advance the ball.
Mm. Yeah.
And so part of what I'm troubled by and intrigued by is it doesn't appear as if, I mean, it's going to take them a while to get them all back together.
Yeah, and this show is never better than when all the characters are in one room and you have all of their differing viewpoints and you have all of the, because they're such strong, beautifully drawn characters, and they and they're
and
monsters.
They're all like
to all of them.
They're all extremely damaged and are all extremely messed up. They're all like, but they like come together to work. For
it's like,
good.
It's a superhero team,
right?
But it's done in such this an interesting grown up way.
I feel like Penny Dreadful is the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen that
it should have
that,
been.
That we never got.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Because I mean that's basically what this is. I mean all these like literary characters coming together to fight evil.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like old school literary characters, you know, Dorian Gray, vampires, you know, witches, the Wolfman. You know,
That's did I blink and miss it? But Dorian Gray isn't in the first episode.
He is not in the first episode.
Well, and what's her name too?
Well, they introduced the bride and Frankenstein's monster.
Frankenstein's monster's in
it. They also I'm just saying that that's another character. They introduce a new character in the first episode.
Yes,
and
do.
I'm not giving away anything.
Don't, yeah.
But I'm not giving away anything in terms of the plot. They introduce Dr. Jekyll.
Which is awesome.
It's so cool how they weave him into the story.
It is cool.
Yeah, I am excited. Cool. And the way that they bring him in and the point of view that he seems to offer in this season.
Yep.
I'm very interested to see where it goes. And, yeah.
I can't wait to see the version of
Mr. Hyde
in this show. That sounds so so great to me
that they still have
that content. They're still introducing people and thinking about stories. That's what's great about this show.
They got tons to pull from.
Right.
I mean,
Victorian limits. Victorian horror literature.
What's the name of Sean Connery's character in
Alan Quartermain?
Alan Quartermain. He's kind of like the hunter. What's his name? The lord of
Malcolm Murray.
They're kind of the same character.
Oh, yeah,
he goes and hunts in Africa.
Explorer,
right.
You know, man of action.
So like
type.
I'm wondering,
but Quartermain, he has that mystical element to him. You can't die on the.
Oh really?
On the, yeah, can't die on the. On the when he's on in Africa, you know,
really?
there's some of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I didn't realize that was part of the mythos with Alan Quartermain. Interesting.
Lore, yes.
Huh.
Hmm.
That's
a
little wrinkle.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, Game of Thrones.
Yes.
How spoilery should we be right
Not
now?
At all.
Not
because,
at all.
Like, I feel like the
we'll spoiler. Give it a couple more weeks.
The anti spoiler.
It's all over the internet.
The anti spoiler, like, camp has really gotten crazy with Game of Thrones lately.
Yes.
Like, you can't say anything. You can't even say somebody's still alive.
Nope.
You know, it's like.
Or come back from the dead.
Wah, wah, wah.
What's most from a Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire geek perspective, what's most interesting about this season is it's the first season of the show that doesn't correspond to a book.
Pieces of it don't correspond.
Most of the plot lines in the show have surpassed where the plots are in the book.
And the last season, they were kind of diverting away from the books
a little bit.
Replacing characters in different spots, and like,
but we're
Brienne
we've
is a different spot
oh,
in the books. Sansa's in a different
spot
in the books. Jamie is like
he's a totally different thing.
And I've been okay with.
Oh, I have too.
I've been okay with
with the choices that the show has made.
Yes.
Here's my only gripe with
universes
number
right
see this season. My only gripe that I could have so far, and I don't know if it's related because it's not coming from the books or not. It feels kind of soft. Like I feel like we're getting things we want too much. I feel like I've been watching the show and it's so brutal. Everybody's dying all the time. Everybody has like such a rough life. Things are going good for characters that I like, and that's not.
It doesn't make you feel.
It
good?
Doesn't make me. It's not
you
like
feel like whoa, the whoa, other whoa. Shoe's gonna drop.
Right.
Define good.
Okay, Sansa's found Brianna Tarth, which is good. Like I feel like that's a good path. She's been treated so poorly since season one,
that's true.
Guys.
That's true.
And so she's finally getting what she wants, and it's like, that's what I want, but it's also kind of like well, this show kills the characters you like.
Exactly.
And so it's like, oh no, what does that mean? And then I won't say, but another character or something very good happens to him that we're all wanting to not, you know, all wanting to happen. And I want it to happen, but I also am like kind of disappointed. Is that weird? Like,
that is weird.
It is a little weird.
It's like,
because I think you're still working through your reactions.
That's right.
Right.
Narratively, I mean, I think the hive mind of the internet was correct.
Yeah.
Narratively, it had to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Completely.
What we're all holding our breath about is, do they do it right?
Correct.
And do they make his character completely fucked up? Or do they make
is
it...
Is he the same guy?
Or is he
exactly.
something
How
better?
Sorry if we're spoiling this. We're trying not to, but we got to talk about it
John
a little
Snow.
Bit.
So
if you haven't watched the first two episodes, we're sorry.
I mean, it's all over the internet, so go watch it. Other than the fact that
will this revitalize the Red Woman's faith? Because she was losing because of...
She lost her faith.
Right,
yes.
Because of what's-his-name dying, and then Jon Snow dying, which she saw, like, visions of him, too.
Right.
And so she's, like, confused, and she doesn't know what the Lord of Light is showing her and what that means. And
because what fascinates me about the show is that there's clearly this... She's losing faith, except there's like magic and power.
She's one of the only people that has magic. Yeah.
Well, and the other the Red Priest and others.
And Thoros of Mir, he obviously
the,
has
the faceless men also have magic.
They have the ability to
something
grammar and stuff like
and
that.
And so
that's
the thing is that normally if it was completely devoid of any of those, you know, she gave birth to the demon assassin thing.
Yeah.
Right? So.
The shadow demon.
Vagina monster. That's
vagina
what I call
monster.
Her.
So,
that's
so,
what I call her.
I mean, there's that.
Yeah.
And so in a world where there was no magic like that, I can see it's much more powerful and you could really sort of see that, okay, I'm doubting my faith because I don't see any tangible. The things that I think
I
saw.
She.
But clearly she, I mean, she's, and clearly she is freaking ancient.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that aspect of it sort of always gives me pause. It's like, okay, why are you worried about this? You have power.
She has access to this power, but whether or not
the visions are true or not.
There's a plan to all of this.
Has she misinterpreted the visions?
Well. And you got to ask the questions. If you have someone that is carrying out your vision as you see fit, would you manipulate? Could you manipulate that person to do something to make that person do something that they want to do? But it's ultimately like
the issue was she was utterly convinced everything she did was right.
What
and
I'm
correct.
Saying is, if the Lord of Light wanted to kill and destroy him,
the horrible shit she wanted done, she knew
right.
had a greater purpose.
It's not horrible. It's not horrible.
She convinced
in her mind that's not horrible.
Well, I understand from an objective point of view,
right.
the fact that she convinced Stannis to burn her own daughter.
His own daughter,
in a freaking funeral pyre before
is that what curry favor?
Do we
think that that's what led to the downfall of Stannis is burning his daughter or also not in the books. Does Stannis die at the end of Dance of Dragons? Because I think he's caught in a snowstorm.
He's off to war.
Right.
He's still alive.
His army is kind of falling apart.
His army is going to go lay siege to Winterfell.
Because the snow is so crazy.
Right.
Yeah,
and winter is still alive. Winter
the
in the north is very much happening.
Yes.
Everything is very much getting colder and colder.
The next book, whenever it's released, is supposed to be called The Winds of Winter.
Well, I mean, they've been talking about...
Who knows?
Yeah. So, I mean, they've been talking about winter is coming since book one.
They're the Stark words.
Yeah, but like how... And they've said the summer has ended. I think the summer has ended. So here comes
the Meisters.
How much time has passed since book one? Like a year?
It feels like in the world of the show that about 2 or 3 years has passed. Because I think, right. Didn't somebody say at some point, you know, 2 years ago something like this happened? And
really?
Was in the first season, I think.
I think that's right.
So I think it's
because it's hard to tell the timeline. Obviously, you know, we're watching
years,
it over
the
course
are all
of.
Grown
right.
Up
the kids are all growing up very quickly.
I mean,
Bran is like a freaking huge
he's like
person.
6'2".
Yeah.
Right. He started the series and he was 11 years old. He's puberty.
Yeah, go watch season one and he's like this tiny little kid running on the freaking castles.
The two star
getting
girls,
thrown out a window.
Sansa
yeah.
And,
yeah, I think what's his name would have a little trouble pushing him out of a window now.
Exactly.
No
yeah.
question.
Yeah. As tall as he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so obviously we're excited. It's one of our favorite shows, and so we'll be talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, and we're all in the same place because there is no book. So
there is no book.
They're
I
telling
have
the story.
No clue where it's going.
Right, and I just
literally
hope,
none.
And that's like
my hope is they pay it off. You can't bring him back to life and not.
There's got to
be. Cannot be boring.
There's got to be
and
something interesting.
He's got to be
a man of action.
He's got to either be psychotic.
I wanted him to be evil. I want him to be. I want him to be like a White Walker.
I wanted him to be a hybrid.
I want him to open his eyes and blue
yeah,
eyes. That's
I
what
think
I wanted.
I might have said that on the. I want him to be a Walker hybrid.
I do too.
Yeah.
Well, I think he
there's
should.
A character.
Cold hands. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There's a character that exists like that in the books. Who is some kind of resurrected.
Which I think is Benjen, because we haven't seen Benjen since book one.
But I think
that Cold Hands is Benjen.
No, he could be a Walker that has been warged.
Oh. We're getting deep now.
We're getting deep now.
That's my theory. Is in the books that it's Benjen warged into a Walker.
Well,
it's a good theory.
The Stark family has power. They have magic.
Right.
Well, Bran has
some
connection
greater
to
degrees
his
than others. Yes.
Well, the idea of the Starks is that they are descended from the Children of the Forest, which
right.
are this mythical, powerful race.
So
of,
he they have
like
some
elves,
kind of. Bran is able to go into animals and humans, which nobody can do.
He's one of the only people who can appear.
And
to
he's being trained by the tree guy, who is Max von Sydow, which is awesome.
The three-eyed Raven.
Max von Sydow.
Von Sydow.
I was
He speaks like two words.
Yeah.
In the whole episode.
Yeah, it's great.
His presence is just fantastic.
He's just so good. Yeah, his voice is so good, and I love.
Well, what about? Well, I want to talk about this
Gravitas.
Just because it's still one of the biggest mysteries. In both the books and the show, is Jon Snow's true parentage. And there's all these theories that
there
exist.
There's one
Targaryens have
there's
power,
one key
too.
Theory.
Yeah, there's
well,
one
and it
big
looks
theory.
As though that we are going to get some kind of flashback involving Bran witnessing what happens
right.
at the
I'm
Tower
hoping,
of
exactly. I'm hoping that's what they go with this
they,
book,
I'm
is
sure
they finally
they
give that
Young
answer.
Stark
that's
take,
how they will do it.
God, I can't even
Bran is going to see it.
I really want them to go in that direction. But like it's also it's what the fans want again. Are they giving us what
you know,
we
that's,
want?
That's a good point. That's a chicken and egg thing that you wonder in this day and age.
Everybody
but
wants Jon Snow to come back to life.
Think about it this
and
way.
So he
think
does.
About it
yes. So yeah, there is
but
that.
Think about it this way. This show. This is the sixth season of this show. The show has been on for a long time.
True.
I mean. Television shows don't go on for 15 years. Book series go on for 20 years. I mean, we have the anticipation
of
answers.
Well, and they're only doing 7 books, right?
Well, that's the plan. But the people who've been with this show, they can't have... I mean, think about Lost and how long questions went on in that freaking show, and they didn't resolve some of the questions they posed in the pilot until the final episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it pissed people off that they were watching all of this time, and they just kept stringing them along. They have to resolve some of these mysteries. And we're in season 6 of this show. It's been on for over 7 years
well,
now.
But I think the it's not about being pissed about how long it takes. It's more about you want to make you're committing all this time and mental energy to a series, show, books, whatever. And what you want is you want to have however it pays off. You want to have a sense that there is a plan.
And your time wasn't wasted.
That there's a coherence to what it is they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that they've, you know, the artist decides this is how it's going to wrap up. And it makes sense based upon the plan. Things click into place. That's the criticism of Lost.
Yeah, because they didn't know what the hell they were doing.
They were making it up as they went along. And they didn't have an end in mind. And so the idea in post-show interviews, it was exactly that. They had a great idea. And the framework for this is what we think is going to happen. But then there wasn't an outline to get to where they got to.
The same
the same thing with regard to Game of Thrones and book and TV is that at this point, hopefully there's coherence to all of this. And it all fits together. And it all fits together in a very satisfying way. However they choose to end it, you want as a viewer, this is my perspective, I want, as a viewer, because they're the artists, not me, I just want it to be coherent.
Yeah.
I don't want it to feel like, oh, wow, really?
Or you just never answer the question.
That makes no sense.
You just
I'm okay with unanswered questions.
Think about...
You don't have to answer all the questions.
All kind of unanswered questions in the Battlestar Galactica finale.
Right.
I'm fine with those.
See, like, I feel like Battlestar had ambiguity. It's like,
and I'm okay with ambiguity.
I want there to be, like... here's what could be, but we're leaving it up to you to decide. And I kind of want that for Game of Thrones. I don't want there to be a, this character's dead, this character's alive. Like, I want there to be like a, I don't know if we're going to know. I don't want them to answer if Jon Snow is the child. I like not knowing.
Oh, no, I absolutely want to know who the hell it is.
I agree.
You're full of shit.
I want to know who his father
is.
That adds depth, and oh, my God, it fits into the lore. I mean, I don't want anything that would take away from the character or make the character more boring. What I want is backstory that enhances the role of that character, and we're all like, oh, wow, that's awesome.
Sure.
Because we know
I want answers
show,
like that.
The show has set up the reality of people of certain bloodlines have certain power. So if Jon Snow is a Stark
and a Targaryen, yeah.
He's capable of anything.
He's going to ride a dragon.
Yeah.
And burn down the
undead army behind him.
And burn down the Night King. No, he'll be
fighting
able,
the undead
he'll
army.
He'll be able to fight the Night King.
Yes.
Well, no, he'll like take over the undead army.
Something.
As his own because he's powerful.
If he is in fact
the Night
both
King.
Stark
so
and
cool.
Both a Targaryen.
All right, we're kind of beating this to death.
It's awesome.
Anyway, we're excited about those two shows. Clearly.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Do you have
eight
any
more to go.
Do you guys have anything
any
else for scene?
I mean the normal stuff, but actually I'm really behind on a lot of shows.
I'm behind on Flash. I stopped watching Arrow.
I've got a lot of Arrow.
What else?
Behind on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I'm bummed out about Arrow.
Yeah,
I'm bummed out about Arrow. It has lost its way for me, and is bored. I mean, I had this moment, and I'm trying to work my way through. I have them all recorded, and I'm watching them, and I was watching an episode the other day, and I think I texted you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like this show is so boring.
Yeah,
I had that moment, like, oh, really? We're just going. It's like their fight, their action sequences are just rote.
Yeah,
and the other. Story pieces are really lame.
They need to like kill like half the crew, start over. That would be so good for that show.
Well, that
it's just to murder
be, it
like
could be
half
a little
of them.
Leaner.
Yeah,
the show could be a little leaner. Got,
like yeah. refocus back on yeah. Oliver.
The team Arrow thing is kind of dumb.
Weak.
I want him to be he could be angsty. But I want him to be like the solo vigilante dude.
Like he was in season one and
right,
two.
Yeah. Right. So anyway.
All right. Well, let's move on to some Red.
Red.
We got a lot for Red.
We got a good amount for Red. We are, as a collective, we are reading Power Man and Iron Fist.
And Black Panther.
Well, now Black Panther too, but I haven't read Black Panther number one. And I also haven't read Power Man and Iron Fist number 3 because that came out yesterday, right?
I believe that's right.
Yeah, yes. So it's fairly new.
Or last week.
Last Wednesday.
Last week, yeah.
That's such a great book. You guys are on to three. I've read up to two. So, like, what do you guys think of issue three? Is it still fun?
It's way fun.
Very fun. Good humor.
The first two are so funny.
Really good humor.
And there's great humor in issue three.
Mm-hmm.
Really self-referential.
Yes.
Really making fun of each other.
The first two issues, I laughed out loud. And when a comic can make me do that, that's so great.
The dialogue is punchy. It's interesting. The dynamic of all the characters.
There's an exchange with Jessica Jones in this one that is laugh out loud funny. It's fantastic.
Wow. Jessica.
Yeah.
In issue two, there's
and it's everything
Spider-Gwen and Spider-Woman like watching Power Man and Iron Fist getting like a tussle in the street, and they're like talking about like Danny Rand, and there's like two women like talking how cute he is, and it's just so funny.
And objectifying him.
Oh my god, it's so
really
so clever. And
my only criticism of issue three is lacks action. It's a setup for a huge fight.
It's definitely
scene.
An interstitial issue.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
A lot of talking. A lot of
there's
back
a lot
and
of, there's
bad,
a decent amount of action in the first two.
Yes.
So.
But my, there's no there's
my
no
hope, because I love Iron Fist and his abilities.
Yeah.
I think he had. I mean,
they've
the
totally
fact
like undersold it. So
exactly.
Far. I mean,
he's a kind of bit of a clown.
He is a bit of a clown.
But
he's
but he could like punch people in the
thing,
face and break them in
but
half.
The whole thing,
but they've like,
even
understated.
But even in issue one when he walks into Tombstone's office and Tombstone gets. You know, he gets aggravated because, you know, Luke Cage is trying to reason with him, and Tombstone is like, "You're trying to reason with me, and you bring the living fucking weapon in here?"
Yeah.
Iron Man is the Iron Fist is the living weapon. That's his tagline.
He's kind of like.
He can win. He's best.
He's kind of a bad mofo, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and we haven't really seen him just go off.
The gauntlet he had to run to get the Iron Fist ability translates to
he's a
bad mofo.
Right. I am super pumped for that show on Netflix.
If they do it right, it could be awesome.
Right.
And they cast the guy from Game of Thrones.
Finn Jones is his name.
His character is still alive in the show, right? The Flower Knight?
The Knight of the Flowers.
Oh, yeah, he's in jail right now.
He's in jail.
Yes.
He's
in jail right now.
Immoral activities because he's
correct.
A homosexual.
In the show. Yeah. And the High Sparrow
throws him in jail.
So he'll be playing Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Which
they've started shooting.
Which they started shooting.
It's going to come out
beginning of 2017. Here's something that we should touch
that's
on.
That's a big piece of news.
Doctor
that's
Strange.
A huge announcement.
Doctor Strange movie trailer.
I got another announcement for you.
What's that?
We didn't touch on this during news. They announced Netflix is doing a Punisher series.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
Jon Bernthal.
That could be
pretty
great.
That could be really good. I think they could go in that direction. And his character kind of ends, you know, okay. There's some...
He's going to be out, but he shows up at the end of the Daredevil season 2, and he, you know, he has embraced his reality as the Punisher.
You know, he's
going to be this vigilante. So they're going to do a TV series, a standalone TV series.
I'm kind of pumped about that. But did you guys watch the Doctor Strange trailer? The one with you didn't watch it?
I love Cumberbatch. I'm a Cumberbatch.
But they cast Tilda Swinton as
the ancient one,
which people
caused controversy.
It's an Asian character in the comics.
Totally.
Yeah.
Tilda
Swinton is pure as the driven snow.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a little bit of that. So I hope that they go in a different direction for the Iron Fist show. And he actually goes to, like, Asia and learns.
Well, they
learns.
Have to, because he gains
if he gets
Nepal or Kunlun or whatever it's called.
Kunlun.
Yeah, if he gets trained by a bunch of white dudes to do, you know, kung fu, that's going to be really annoying. So...
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that. I think that they already were under pressure to
cast an Asian Iron Fist
in the role of Danny Rand.
Oh, really?
Yes.
There was chatter about that.
Yeah, there was. It was, you know, we've had enough with white dudes appropriating Asian culture.
There were prominent Asian writers and artists who wanted that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know, it's an artifact of the 70s and, you know, some of that. Hong Kong.
Well, you know, Bruce Lee and how he popularized
and
those
so
kind of
so Marvel went the route of having a white dude do that. So there is that. from my perspective, I'm glad that they stuck with what the origin in the comics, and I think there's a way to handle it in a culturally sensitive way, as long as they do that.
I have faith that Marvel will get right.
And Luke Cage has to absolutely be a part of that show. Like I feel
hope so.
100%.
100%.
I'm hoping that somehow they'll launch.
They go hand in hand, these two.
Yes. You know? They're never better than when they're together.
Exactly.
And the comic book even illustrates that. That's part of the joke of the
issue,
comic book.
Back to issue three.
The two of them are never better than when they're together.
I love the line that says, "You people are, I want to hire you. You're heroes for hire, aren't you?"
Yeah, exactly.
It's so funny.
It's great.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Issue three. And Christopher and I have read Black Panther number one.
Yeah.
What do we think?
Christopher, you love Black Panther.
I do.
It's your character.
I think
not enough happens.
I agree with that. There is and it's a setup of big questions with a capital B and a capital Q.
What time frame is this taking place in? What's his conflict? Where is he at?
It's in Wakanda.
Okay.
He's the king of Wakanda.
Yeah.
Wakanda is the most technologically advanced society in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So they.
It's a source of vibranium.
Exactly.
Is that what they're doing in the movie, you think, with the Black Panther character?
We'll have to see.
He's this technologically advanced human thing.
We'll have to see.
Because
we're gonna learn in 3.5 hours.
In 3.5 hours, we're gonna find out.
Well,
yeah,
we'll see.
Let's hope. But
my hesitation is trying to describe what it is, because it's not a. It's a political.
Yeah.
It's gender.
Yes.
It's power. It's large scale nation state. It has all of those geopolitical kind of stuff. Yeah. And so
I'm making a face of like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That's why we have to see what it's going to turn into.
Yeah.
The writer's reaching for big ideas.
And there's humanity, but not enough. And the key moments of humanity are between the two female bodyguards,
and the
rescue of one by the other, and their relationship, and what their role is.
I'll say this right now: the part of the theme that I am enjoying just from the first issue is how the writer is juxtaposing this incredibly modern, advanced society that Wakanda is with all of these rather kind of arcane traditions and roles that the society has.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of dignity in the roles that these people have. I mean, there's this, you know, the mother, T'Challa's mother ends up being, she's kind of this like supreme giver of justice. She makes decisions in terms of appeals for mercy and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the captain of
the
guard. She
makes a decision which has a serious impact.
Far-reaching. I mean, Chris mentioned gender. There's women of significant power in the story already,
and also women in serious positions of subjugation.
Exactly.
Like stereotypical gender roles in that society, and there's a sort of breaking out of that or trying to shed that. It's a complicated book.
And it's only one issue.
And it's the first. This is the first issue.
And he's gonna, the writer's going to do.
There's a lot. There's a lot going on.
Issues.
There's a lot going on.
So we'll see.
Okay.
As a purely a comic book fan, I would love a little more superhero-ness from T'Challa.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see him just stomp some fools. Because you know, Black Panther's a badass.
He is a genius badass.
Exactly.
And so
like
I want to see all of that,
dude. I'm so pumped to see that in 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Chadwick Boseman.
3 hours,
I think is his
27
name.
Minutes.
Chadwick Boseman.
He's playing T'Challa.
I know. It's so pumped.
He's awesome. He's a great actor.
There's a really good clip online of him getting in a tussle with
the Winter Soldier,
and that's.
Looks so awesome.
3 hours, 26
Just a
1 minute
clip,
minutes.
And it's already one of the best fights you'll see.
All right. Any other red? Oh, you guys have both read
Well, I have started Ready Player One.
Have you ever read it?
No.
Oh my god.
I'm 120 pages in.
Andrew's
it's funny,
little,
and
right.
I just finished listening to it for the second time.
I listened to it twice, and there's so much in the book, and it's so fun. It's just a fun story.
I'm of the right age.
Right.
All of the 80s references brings me back.
So
to
many
80s
references.
Oh,
so many
out,
movie
shout out to
music.
Shout out to Portland. We're after the movie tonight, probably. You say 80s. We're going to go to this bar that has a bunch of old, you know,
ground control
cabinet gaming, you know,
yes.
Arcade games. We're going to go over and have a beer or two and play
We're going to play Joust. It's
yes.
going to be
all
great.
These reference
we
video
are
games.
Absolutely playing Joust.
If you read the book, you know what Joust means.
Joust has exactly. a key role.
So I'm enjoying my only criticism of the book so far, and it's very fun, and the characters are interesting, all the references are cool, mm-hmm. and the plot that's been set up. The writing, the voice of Wade Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
This
Wade
is a
Watts.
Little Wade Watts. It's just a little basic.
Mm.
I don't think that. I mean, the writer may not have a lot of flourish. And that's because he's telling the story from a 17-year-old's perspective, because it's told in the first person.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a lot of literariness to it again. Mm. Yeah, but we'll see.
It's not perfect.
It's not perfect.
It's
no,
not
yeah.
perfect.
It's
not
really
a,
fun.
It's not
so
a
far.
Great book, but it's a fun. It's a very fun and enjoyable read, I would
yep.
say. So, especially for our culture, the 80s references,
well,
the movie references, the music.
It brings up about the technology, fantastic. Obsessions with technology and escapism.
And
that
like,
stuff is
and
really deep.
We've had we had this conversation when I first read it about, you know, being engrossed in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many themes to this thing where they're like, you got to go out in the real world a little bit. You know, the real world sucks in this environment, but it's like our world just like turned to 11.
Yes.
You know, it's nothing that it's like there hasn't been a nuclear holocaust. There hasn't been you know, zombie overthrow.
It's honestly raises the question about did this guy who created this game, and because it was so obsessive, people began to neglect the real world, and
mm-hmm.
the real world
exactly.
basically collapsed because they were so obsessed.
They were so obsessed with
this virtual world,
mm-hmm. the Oasis.
And it seems like it's fairly. I seem like that's the answer to the question: has become the world collapsed because people were so obsessed with the virtual world.
Relevant tangent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Latest issue of Wired magazine has a terrific article about the state of VR. And
mm-hmm.
Augmented reality and I'm blanking on the term. It's VR, AR, and MR. But anyway,
augmented
it references
is you
the,
put on the
it
goggles and it,
the Oasis.
You can see the world around you, but it has 3D shapes in it. That's augmented reality.
No, augmented reality is not that. Augmented reality is I see the train coming. And it gives me the schedule.
Oh, that's cool.
The modified reality or something, it's something like that, is the,
oh, okay.
the shapes are like a dolphin is added to the room that you're
right.
in.
Right. There's a dragon flying around, a little
and it
baby
looks
dragon,
real.
Right, that is flying around.
Augmented
in
reality
your hotel
is
room.
Information.
Right.
It's
and then VR is a completely made world.
Right,
There's you are no longer in your hotel room.
Anyway,
you are in some fantasy world fighting dragons.
Correct.
Right.
And the article why it's related to this discussion about Ready Player One is Ernest Cline, author of it, is interviewed for part of this article.
Interesting.
About and it's really a article about Magic Leap,
mm-hmm.
which is a company that is making this modified reality headset. And the modified reality headset is putting things into the world that we are inhabiting
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
via this headset. So you can see through the headset, but out in the world is something. It's not augmented reality. Well, it's different.
Google Glass tried to do this a little bit too.
Yeah,
you'd be seeing something, and like you search Google Maps, and you can actually see your route on the road that you're driving. Yeah. But it didn't really take off because
it looks stupid.
You look like a dumb.
That is the eternal challenge for these things. But anyway,
yeah.
The idea is that we're headed down this road of an oasis.
Mm-hmm.
Of
Oasis being the game world.
You're in the World of Warcraft all the time.
Yeah. You just live there.
So and so I highly recommend that article. Take a look at it. But anyway, we're reading. I listened to Ready Player One. I finished it. You're reading it. You've never read it.
Nope.
It's a ball. Mm-hmm. You'll enjoy the whole book.
The only other read that I would like to put on there is I read The Descender, which is a trade paperback that I got. It's a science fiction book that I think you would love, Christopher.
Really
beautifully drawn. It's watercolors for the art, and very interesting story about like human beings in the universe or aliens in the universe versus, you know, the age old question of like robots and robot sentience and whether that's life or not. Kind of an idea.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a lot of that in this, but it's really, really well done. Really cool story.
I need to check that out.
That's centered around a little
boy.
There's
a trade out?
Yeah, there's a trade out for it that's really good. So I recommend that you pick that up because I'm enjoying that thoroughly.
Cool.
Let's do some played.
Played.
I know what you guys have been playing. You guys want to tell the listeners?
Christopher, did you get into that Stardew Valley?
I did, the farming simulator.
Yeah, that people are like fans.
How much time have you put into this?
I'm not going to say.
Only because I only asked that question not to say how much time you put in, but like I hear it's very, very deep and long, and there's like hundreds of hours of gameplay for this $14.99 out of nowhere game.
Yeah.
The potential for hundreds of hours.
That's insane to me. Wow. $14.99, and it's made by one guy.
Hundreds of hours.
So insane. So
what's the game? It's a resource management game?
The story is awesome. You go to the... Your grandfather leaves you this dilapidated farm. You go to the farm. It's outside this small city, this small village.
And each of the villagers have quests.
They all have different roles.
Right.
They all have different hidden agendas.
And there's tons of, villagers.
There is caves underground. You're on the coast.
Yeah.
And it's planting things. Harvesting things,
fishing,
selling things,
right?
Fishing,
right?
Gathering things,
making a successful farm,
collecting things, giving it to, and there is a meta story about the corporation that you were a drone in, you know, in your cubicle, named Farmers. I mean, named something else.
Farmers
that you left that you have left to do this farming thing. And they're the corporation that is trying to essentially destroy this village by getting memberships in their J-Mart store, it's called. And so you have to make a decision about whether you join that and get your products all, you know, cheaply and corporately packaged and blah, blah, blah. Or you support the community center and the farmers co-op and blah, blah, blah. So there's that overarching storyline too.
Yeah.
Along with everything else going on. And there's weirdness. There's demon chickens.
What?
There's it's awesome, dude. It's awesome.
I want to play this.
It's so...
I want to play this so much.
Is it a mobile game?
No.
Well, that's what they're saying too.
It could absolutely be a mobile game.
It's 16-bit, so the graphics aren't like super high end. Like it doesn't need like a hardcore computer. It's just the guy designed it for computer. But it could.
It's so satisfying to harvest what you've grown.
Yeah.
It's and I you know I named my farm the Hansen Family Farm.
Because our grandfather was a farmer, yes. Leonard Hansen.
My mother was born on that farm.
Not born on the farm, but I have a
She was born in the farmhouse.
She was not born in the farmhouse. That's, you know, geez, no.
This isn't like 1890,
seriously,
Andrew.
Seriously, dude, she was born in a hospital. You're an idiot. So
it, I brought it's, you voodoo donuts, you jackwagon.
Yeah, you did.
I'm definitely going to eat one of those voodoo donuts while we're done with this.
Anyway, it's viscerally satisfying to be doing that. And you, when you first get there, it's all run down, and you have to clean it up.
Yeah.
And so you cut down weeds and cut down trees, but in the process of doing that, you gain resources. It's really good. It's really fun.
That's awesome.
But it is hundreds of potential hours.
Hundreds.
Yes.
So totally worth $14.99. But it's also like a time sink.
Do you shoot anything? Do you shoot anything in the face?
No shooting. No shooting.
I'm out.
All right.
So, Andrew, what is the game that you can shoot people in the face?
I play Destiny a lot with the recent PvP weekly event, Iron Banner. I played a lot of that. I reached rank 5.
We played together.
We did.
Yeah.
You know, got some sweet loot drops, mm-hmm. which is the whole point at this point.
Sweet loot drops.
You just want to ascend your character and get more powerful, and we have. We have not played with Sean in quite some time.
Frickin' Daylight Savings.
Daylight Savings. He now, I mean, when we're kind of getting home and kind of can play on Sunday nights, he's going to bed because it's freaking 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
By the time that, you know, it's 8 o'clock in Arizona, Sean's like, I need to go to sleep because it's 3 hours.
Because he's a rational human with a job.
Exactly.
Wow.
And I don't care.
So you're irrational human and you have a job.
And I don't care.
Because I'm playing at 8 o'clock.
Exactly.
I mean, we play until 11 hour time. It's fine, but Sean's playing until 2 a.m.
his
time,
playing
which is
until 2 a.m.
nuts. He's a grown man with four children.
Well, how many? Not at home.
How many? Well, I know
two at home.
Two at home.
Still,
he has an important job.
He really does.
We need to leave him alone.
Speaking of Sean, if he's listening, we would love to have you back on the show.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We need you back on the show.
We need to get him
back.
Legendary listener,
Sean. I have something else
I shot people in the face, too. And you know me. I've never been a big fan
in the game, everyone.
I've never been a big fan of PvP, except this Iron Banner. I actually held my own.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I smoked fools.
He got a couple. You got a top of team once or twice,
didn't
you?
That's awesome.
I did. And my team, I won luck of the draw, but my team, I was looking back at the history, I won 7 matches in a row.
Can I ask you guys a question? Are you guys interested in playing Destiny? Because it's. Or Division, because it's very similar to the Destiny formula. It's a similar kind of idea.
No.
And
because the griefing possible in the Division sucks.
Explain.
Because in the Division, you have to get these resources and then hold a node for it to be uploaded to your helicopter.
Oh.
And then people will grief your ass to prevent you from getting it. So it's a constant. It feeds the worst in online people.
Yes.
Oh.
It has elements, gameplay elements, that allow griefing, that Destiny has none of that.
Well, okay. And the other thing that kind of, I've watched the Destiny streamers that I watch pretty regularly
mm-hmm.
were excited about the Division. They played the shit out of the Division. And then the Division gameplay, they released what are called incursions,
mm-hmm.
which are supposed, look like they're just kind of like mini raids,
mm-hmm.
But they drop the best loot. Apparently, there are exploits in these incursions where you can cheese, mm-hmm. and you get all kinds
every
single fight. You get all the best drops, and the distance that now exists between the top level players who use the exploits and cheese every single incursion,
right.
and the people who refuse to do that. Is astronomical.
I have read a few articles on the Division about EA trying to crack down on people who are cheating and banning people.
Oh no, people are being banned. There was talk that I saw about not people they're gonna reduce everybody's loot just arbitrarily, across the board. They were gonna take people's loot away. Just to put everybody back on a lower, on
just,
a regular
just
playing field.
Just to reset because basically, everything's kind of off.
So
the economy is
on.
Out of control.
Exactly.
I just think that.
And even the streamers who loved it for weeks
mm-hmm.
don't play it anymore.
Wow.
They've gone back to Destiny because there was an update.
Well, anything
and
made
Destiny
by...
Destiny gameplay is so solid.
It's so much fun.
And it's fun, and there's balance. Yeah, Warlock, Nova Bomb is overpowered, blah, blah, blah.
There's always Titan. Gripes with games
there
like
is that.
That.
But my experience this last Iron Banner was, okay, I heard the sound... Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to avoid the dude. Uh-huh. I try to kill that character, but I got lit up multiple times. But the I got that medal of Avenger.
Yeah,
I got 15 of those because you respawn, and then I killed the person who killed me. Mm-hmm. I just love that.
It's fun.
That was great.
So we had a good time. I have one more thing I'd like to report on.
Sure.
Foreplayed.
Ooh.
On Tuesday night this past week, I went to the DeSoto Market, which is this large kind of co-op market area with a bar in downtown Phoenix. And they do a trivia night every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And this past Tuesday, it was Star Wars trivia night. And I went down there with Ashley Schuler and Megan Merrill. And they were on my team for Star Wars trivia. And we won Star Wars trivia. And it was awesome. Versus like 11 other teams. So shout out to those two who helped me out. But I'm just going to say it. I won.
Nice.
I won Star Wars trivia.
Okay, so...
I would be disappointed in you.
I don't want this to get in the way of the trivia we normally do for the show.
Yeah.
But like, can you give us a Star Wars trivia question?
He just said he doesn't have a trivia question.
Okay, I'll give you guys a Star Wars trivia question.
Give us an example if you can remember.
The game was structured into 6 rounds. Each round had 7 questions. An example of one of the questions was the hardest one, really, that I encountered just because I had no clue. In episode 2, Anakin Skywalker describes sand with 3 words. What are those 3 words?
Right?
I had no clue.
I think it's like warm and like coarse and gets everywhere, something like that. Is it close?
You have one word right. Coarse.
Coarse.
Yeah, there's 3 separate words that he uses, and I don't think anybody got it right.
Okay.
I had no clue.
You know why?
Because it's a terrible movie, and nobody pays
everybody
attention.
Is freaking glazed over in that scene.
It is interesting.
Because they hate that movie so much.
It's interesting that they do the prequels as trivia for your trivia. I mean, yeah, there's 6 movies and now 7. But
they didn't do episode 7 because they wanted to avoid spoilers. I'm like, everybody in the world has
everybody
seen,
in the world has seen that movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, we won. I won a $20 gift card to the DeSoto Market.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Golf clap.
Better give me a golf clap.
Golf clap.
How many people were there?
Golf clap.
Oh, 70 or 80?
70 or 80, and Andrew beat them.
He is the Star Wars guru on the freaking Brothers Geek podcast.
Wow, and you make fun of me about my intros? He was the best at the Brothers Geek.
I can't talk. This is him sober.
This is my first day talking.
I've never spoken before.
That's how you sound.
He's so mad.
He's really sad.
Move along.
Move along.
These aren't the droids you're looking
These
for.
Aren't the droids.
See, there it is.
Boom.
All
swings back around.
I have a small play that I'd like to talk about. I downloaded Skyrim for my computer because my computer is bitchin', and I wanted to see how Skyrim looked on it. And I found a new love for this game because I never owned it on the PC. I ordered it for the Xbox 360. So now that I have it on the PC,
you turned up all the settings.
I turned up all.
Incredible.
I looked up all the settings, and I downloaded a bunch of mods. Some mods
it's like
enhanced.
7 years old now.
Is it's that like how? 7 years old, yeah. And it looks freaking incredible.
That's awesome.
And
it is fun.
I downloaded so many mods to like add quests, add new armor, add like shaders to the like make the enhance the graphics.
Cool.
I've added like magic augments and all kinds of story stuff that people have
it
created.
It looked great. The scenes, especially with the dragons, look great. Even 7
Dude,
years ago,
it looks so good.
I haven't. I'm doing the same thing,
and
but I haven't gotten to a dragon yet. So.
My computer is so good. I got this shit on 11, right?
Yeah.
And I can see. I'm like on the top of a mountain. I can see a dragon flying
Are
around.
You serious?
Like that's way so cool. In the distance.
Wow.
Like, and I'm like, holy shit. There's a dragon over there.
That's awesome.
Like, what are you doing?
That's very cool. You got me excited. Dude, I need to fire that up.
It's so great, and it's amazing that, like, it's such a good game that people are still modding it.
Oh, yeah.
And the mods that I've downloaded have made it into, like, a fun, like, new game, pretty much.
That is cool.
And, you know, I've done a lot of the old stuff that I've already done, but it's been long enough that I've forgotten a lot of stuff. And it scratches that itch, man, the itch of, I need to level up, I need to get the best armor, I need to go kill dragons, I need to, like, finish this quest.
That main storyline is fantastic.
Dude, that's cool. So that's what I've been doing. Haven't really played anything new. I've been thinking about buying the auto matron for Fallout 4, but I kind of have a love-hate relationship with Fallout 4 because it kind of got really repetitive for me. Uh-huh. So, that's my play. Andrew, you don't have any trivia?
I don't have a trivia question. I've been on vacation. I totally spaced out that
ask
we
needed
one today.
From the competition.
Okay,
dude.
Here we go.
Yeah, ask another one from the competition. Yeah.
All right. One of the more obscure ones.
Yeah.
Okay, the star from episode one.
Wait, did you answer how the sand feels? Do you remember?
It was rough, coarse, and irritating.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
I got it wrong. That's the correct
You might have said it already, but I don't know.
Rough, coarse, and irritating.
Okay, continue. What's your second question?
The question in episode one, mm-hmm. the squadron of Naboo starfighters that mm-hmm. attack the droid Federation starship, what is that squadron called?
Wow.
It's a pretty obscure question.
They probably say it like once.
They
probably, like, one character says...
There's one or two call-outs where they call, like, each other by, like, a call sign.
Well, and
Blue
is this
Squadron,
when,
let's...
Is it, is, do we hear this when... Yes. When Anakin has jumped into a ship and is flown into space?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, that tells you why I'm not getting
you're glazing
it.
You're glazing over
because it's a
I
little
hate
kid.
That moment so much.
And that little kid actor, terrible. He should never act again.
So, yeah, I have no idea. And I don't. Yeah, I have no idea. And he's a train wreck in life now.
So. Is
he?
Oh,
Jake
really?
Lloyd.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, he got arrested for some reason.
I don't want to know. It's probably like Gold Squadron or something because they're like the royal. No, that's part of the palace.
It's much more lame.
My answer that I put down was the Royal Guard, and I was totally wrong.
Okay,
because I thought of that.
I feel like and it's part of the
Rebels
captain. What's
colors.
His name is in one of the
Naboo,
fighters.
Naboo it's, wouldn't use colors.
Yeah, you ready for it?
Yeah.
It's the Bravo Squadron. They call it Bravo. Ready, Bravo Leader. Ready, Bravo Leader. So it's the Bravo. Yeah.
That's even more dumb.
That's
I know.
Even more dumb. Yeah. They don't have Alpha Bravo.
Well, and,
on
okay,
Naboo.
Right. And here we go.
Like they don't have. They don't
so
have.
So dumb.
They don't have those.
Using
they don't have
Naboo
Greek.
Word.
They don't have Greek cultures. They don't have Greek. Greek culture
it's
for any, Alpha and Bravo.
Here we go. In The Empire Strikes Back. Here's another question.
Okay.
That's a bit obscure because you probably
give us
hear enough. This name once.
Oh.
In episode, it's five, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
What is the name of the general who leads the ground assault on the rebel base?
General Veers.
You got it.
Boom!
Well done. You would have gotten
high five.
We can high five.
It's like Carson.
Because we're in the same room. It's awesome.
Same room, brothers. Game.
General
Veers.
Yeah, I knew that.
So just think about this. If the three of us are on a Star Wars trivia.
Dude, we kill.
So we'd never lose.
Here's the best story about this Star Wars night.
Yeah.
I completely forgot to write down an answer for one of the questions. And I would have gotten it right because I knew the answer.
That sucks.
And we would have won free and clear. We had to do a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there was three teams
tied. You were telling me about the tiebreaker. Tell us the tiebreaker question.
The tiebreaker question that we had to answer at the end of this thing was, if you watched all seven movies from start to finish, mm-hmm. how long would it be?
And you got close enough and so you won.
I got close enough and that's what I won on the tiebreaker.
And you guessed?
I guessed 16 hours and 45 minutes or
and
something like that.
And the answer is?
Like 15 hours and 30 minutes or 37, something like that.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, so other people were like, it'd be like 12 hours. I'm like, dude, there's 7 movies or 2 hours a piece. Guess 14 at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it was all 7 movies?
All 7.
Oh, okay.
So I did the simple math in my head.
I would say at least 14.
2.5 hours
Yeah,
each,
yeah. Everything is 2.5.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not, I think episode 4 is less than 2 hours.
Yeah, it's like 145 or something like that.
Yeah, it doesn't, but all the other ones are more than 2.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well done.
All right.
Good trivia.
Yeah.
If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia next time, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. If you'd like to email the show about questions, comments, any kind of thing, we will read it on air. It'll be brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. You should follow us on Twitter @brothers_geek@twitter.com. Brothersgeek.com for all your Brothers Geekness. And then, of course, you know, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/brothersgeek.
Yep.
It's been a good show, guys.
Great show here in Portland.
We're going to go...
it's good to see you in the face.
Yes.
I look in your face.
Yeah, I kind of had to look away from you guys.
Cause... looked Greedo in the face and shot him first.
He shot him first!
You can have your hills and valleys and your home out on the range. But here's one lonesome cowboy who's pining for a change. Take me back to the wide open places where a guy gets as high as a kite. Yes, yes. On those small, narrow spaces in the wide open places that are open, open all night. My, my.
Tony, fix me another one.